Welcome to Minority Corner
with Aneke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues,
only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike.
It's Minority Corner, episode 171, and it's the Maximum Fun Drive. Yay! And we have an action-packed episode. Aneke is joining us. She's back throughout the episode. She's going to be joining in on our Maximum Fun Drive segment just for you all. This is a huge celebration. And we have returning to the Minority Corner, Miss Jennifer Covington, self-help guru extraordinaire and host of Shine On Sista podcast. We'll be co-hosting along the show today. And we dive in deep into what makes a cult and how to know if you are in one and why Jen and I might be susceptible to cults and why we're obsessed with them. Also, surviving R. Kelly, we dive into that. And remember the hit Netflix show On My Block? Well, we kind of do. We remember enjoying it, but can't remember what it was about or can't name a character. But it's back, and we're excited that it's back. And then Jen is going to lead us through a great conversation about the five levels of interaction that she learned at a seminar by the Mankind Project. And with the college admission scandal plaguing our psyche, I'm going to focus on the real scandal here. White affirmative action. That's right, folks. It is a thing, and it's been working for a very long time. Plus, gay Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, the guy from Ireland, gay Prime Minister, you know the one. Well, he visits Mike Pence? What? All this and more on a very special episode of Minority Corner, Maximum Fun Drive. Thank you for all of you who are participating in the drive. We love you. It's going to be a great episode. Let's do it. Back to the corner, Jen.
Hey, happy to be here.
Jennifer Covington of Shine On Sista fame, guru, coach extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Just all around. It's great. I think you're the first person to come on Minority Corner twice.
I cannot believe that. I'm so honored and fanning out.
Because you're not only, but this time, you're not just a guest. You're in the co-host
spot. I'm moving up in the game.
This is different.
I'm
you're
so
here.
Excited.
It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm back in San Francisco, in the Bay Area.
Yes.
I always just say San Francisco. I like round up.
Totally.
I feel like it's all San Francisco, Bay
totally,
Area.
Yeah.
But I know like every part of the Bay has its own sort of niche.
If you're in the Bay, you know that, but not everyone knows that.
So you just round up to the nearest big city.
Because I'm from Missouri and, you know, I didn't know before I knew better.
Yeah. No, but you're here now. So let's have a little fun before we get into the episode.
Okay.
It was hard because like it's been a really challenging last few months of like having like, you listeners probably recognize, it's been hard to have fun.
Yeah,
because like everything pop culture, it's all terrible.
Yeah, it's
like
been tough.
Jussie Smollett,
yeah,
leaving Neverland, escaping, finding R. Kelly, or leaving R. Kelly, or getting away from R. Kelly.
Surviving.
Yeah.
We're all doing our best.
I watched both Finding, we've already talked about Finding, not, I always call it Finding Neverland. That's a different movie. That's about the guy who wrote Peter Pan or something.
Yes.
Very different movies. Leaving Neverland.
Mm.
We talked about that, I think, like last week. Mm. And then I watched Surviving R. Kelly. So it's been just a week of listening to these survivor stories.
So I didn't watch and I didn't hear and I didn't see. So
just when I was like, let's have fun. And then I accidentally talked about all these terrible things.
That's true.
But it is interesting. I will say the Surviving R. Kelly thing is six parts.
Right.
I don't have TV or Lifetime, so I had to purchase it on YouTube for $9. I hope the proceeds go to something great.
Yeah.
The first few episodes, I think when it gets to like the last two episodes, it does feel a little sensationalist. Like I feel like, oh, I'm watching like Lifetime or like I'm watching TLC or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it has that tone,
which is funny because TLC used to be like the go-to place of
for
like
sure
actual the learning channel.
Yes.
And now it's just like, ooh, I eat my sofa cushions.
Right,
there's those shows.
Yeah,
like where
like my
like,
crazy obsession.
Yeah,
or something. I have
yeah
a huge problem with that show.
Oh yeah, what's your problem?
Because so I love like Quarters, Intervention. Yeah, totally. What was the other show that they were in a house?
They couldn't leave their house?
No, it's a show. Oh, I can't remember.
So I was like, that's really messed up. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a show about people who are, I think it's called agoraphobic.
Oh, I've seen a show like that too, where people won't leave. But in all those shows, they have like a psychologist or a psychiatrist, or they are also trying to rehabilitate those people. Yeah. You know, like for Hoarders, they call 1-800-JUNK for the junk, but
so
they also have
helping. Yeah. Them.
But in my crazy obsession, they're like, ha ha, you eat glass, and then that's it. And I just, it's like, really?
Oh gosh.
It just doesn't feel good.
Right. There's not like an actual like, what if these people need help and they're not getting help.
Yeah.
And we're just laughing at
them. Exactly.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, I think it kind of goes into this other conversation that Glory, who was on last week, was kind of touching on. She hadn't seen Leaving Neverland, mm-hmm. making sure I'm getting it right. Mm-hmm. And so we're having a conversation, and it is kind of challenging having a conversation with someone about the documentary when they haven't seen it. But she did bring up a good point that, like, what, and some people have been saying, like, with these documentaries, like, what is the point, or is this more sensationalism? I read an article that was talking about, is this just like, you know, people are obsessed with like true crime stories.
Yes.
And now with sort of, you know, sexual abuse and rape stories, like, are these the new sort of where we're just like glued to the TV to like watch these stories?
Interesting.
And so is it just sort of capitalizing on these? And these people like are, you know, crying. They're going through like, it's really traumatic seeing them tell these stories.
Relive it.
And then we're just kind of like watching as these voyeurs. Mm-hmm. But I in my heart of hearts, as a storyteller, do believe that we're telling these stories to bring it to light, so that way we can stop the cycle of abuse.
Yeah. That is so interesting, though, that you just bring up the murder mysteries first from that. Because when I get in the mode, I don't know what mode that is, but I will totally watch. I love the mysteries and the crime. And I hate...
Like, the people are dead and murdered and, like, who did it?
Yeah.
Really?
And I know why.
Okay.
Because as a psychologist myself, right?
Yes.
You know, I'm very interested. So I studied psychology and sociology, right? Because it's what makes you tick and then how society forms who we are, nature versus nurture. So I always want to know why. Like, I always want to know what is happening. Like, why would you do that? And those stories kind of like walk you through it. So I know that's my fascination.
Sure, yeah.
But I am always questioning it, like, the fifth one, really? Or, you know, because now they're just on YouTube. You can watch them at leisure. And it's like, why the murder mysteries? When I'll make fun of my husband who watches fiction and people are like dying. And I'm like, this is terrible. Aren't you stressed out? But then I'll watch a real story.
Yeah. And I actually prefer my murder mystery fantasy, like, you know, like,
it makes more sense.
Yeah. I like that it's like unreal. Like, I like, I like the horror movies like Scream, when it's just some like guy in a mask calling you up, asking you what your favorite movies are. It chases you and then falls a bit, and you know. But then when it gets to like, it starts feeling too real, you know, like it's the horror movies have been getting more and more like real feeling, and I'm just like, I can't handle this. I need some fantasy.
Yeah,
I need a little bit of. And that's the thing too, I think, like, for me at least, with these stories, like, I'm also like addicted to like watching the stories. Leah Remini's Scientology show, I love it. I think I love it like a true, dramatic, horrific story.
Yeah.
And the people are still alive.
Yes.
That's what I like. When they like survived through something.
Totally.
Like, and then they're overcoming it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched that show? Oh, you're too scared.
I know.
Scared.
I'm too scared.
Because you feel like you're going to get sucked into a cult.
Yeah. Well, oh my gosh. That's what I love, our cult stories. But we will circle back.
Okay.
But just because they say that, you know, people will hide out in your trash cans and stuff. So I don't want to be like,
because they're
tagged.
Because like, they'll know that you watch the show.
Yeah.
And then they'll like,
they'll know that I know. And then
they'll put a website up against you, because that's what they do.
That's what I heard. So I was like, I don't need to know. Not yet.
Well, and I see parallels between what happens in the Church of Scientology and what happens to some of the women in the R. Kelly sort of situation. I like the stories, like, when they, you know, when they get out of it, I guess.
Yes.
When they're still alive, they get out. I do think though the Scientology one is so fascinating to me, because I feel like that's what happens, and we'll get into this in my corner too. It happens when just white people have a lot of money and they don't know what to do with it, and they want to be special or feel special and feel a part of something.
Yeah.
It's like, there's some neighborhoods that could probably use your help and you don't have to like be a part of this cult thing.
Yes, that will ship your kids away on a ship.
Yes, and there's something I feel like I think you as someone who loves like why do people do things, I think you'd be so fascinated by the show.
I know, but I'm also sensitive, so I also have to like tread lightly. It's like, what kind of week have I had? So far I haven't had any openings for surviving R. Kelly and Leaving Neverland, and but they're on my list.
It's there.
But can we circle back to cults?
Yes.
That's another one of like my secret obsessions is I will watch all the cult documentaries. And I realize for that though is because I am so, I feel open that I have to make sure I won't get caught. So I feel like I study it to know, like, don't let it be you.
I'm on the same page with you. I'm on the same page with you. I think that's why I watch it, because I'm the same way of like, you know, I went to Tony Robbins's like Unleash the Power Within, and everyone's jumping up and down and stuff. And you know, as we were leaving, they are like literally, we were joking around like, oh, we're drinking the Kool-Aid as it's going on.
Yeah.
By the end of it, they actually were literally selling.
No, come on.
They're selling like a juice cleanse. And my friend's like, I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, so you're literally going to drink
Kool-Aid.
It's expensive. My God. but I like, same thing. I had a run-in where I actually had accidentally joined a cult for like a day or like it was a few hours. I didn't realize. But it starts slow and steady where they do a lot of like, they get you with I Love Self-Help. I know you're into it too.
Yeah.
And that's they get you, or it's just like really empowerment stuff at first.
All cults start off really well. That's what I've learned in my studies of cult. They're about love, peace, and harmony, most of them.
Right.
And so you're like, I'm on board.
Love this.
Right?
And then it starts getting, but then I think you're so deep in to a point.
There's a couple things.
Okay, you've got notes.
So the first thing is they all start off well. Yeah. Or it seems like they start off great.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's like, are cults so bad? That's where I also end up with, like, because we judge like the obvious ones or the ones that do take a turn that make it to documentary land where you're like, ooh, it was cool until, and then ooh, and then ooh, it like goes five levels deep of bad.
And like there was that one that recently there was this actress from Smallville, Allison Mack, was involved in. I think it was called Access something. Mm-hmm. It was like a sex cult or something. And it just like, it's just crazy because I had watched this actress on Smallville for 10 years and then she was a part of it, and Kirsten Keurig, who was in Smallville, wasn't as in deep. She like backed out of it, but like, yeah, during the break I'll look it up and so I can warn you. And there's another one that's going around that's really big,
the old country or wild country.
No, there's another one that people, I was at a friend's wedding and people were like, is this a cult? Because they keep getting invited to these things. Something like life learning. I don't know.
Oh boy.
There's an L involved. And it's like life learning or something. And like what they'll do is they'll invite you to a party and then like they'll sort of give speeches about this like program. It's sort of like the self-help empowerment, like next level programming and stuff. And then there's people there who will sort of not corner you, but corner you who are like a tier ahead or whatnot.
Sounded
and they'll
kind
of like
cultish.
Sort of pitch to you of like why it's important for you to join and the things that you'll get out of it. And you just got to like enter in your credit card to be able to take these classes and boom.
Yeah. So here's the thing about cults.
Yes.
Like what makes a cult a cult?
Yeah.
Right? Because then you look at religion.
Right.
And this could even be part of my corner when we're just talking about like institutions.
Yeah.
And so it's like, are all cults bad? Because one of our primal, just like you were talking about, people want to belong.
Yeah.
People want to have a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like a tight container can help you excel past, you know, what you thought you could do when you're around people. And so it's like, I think cult, you know, gives it the name where it's like, oh, you're in a cult. But you're like, oh, I'm just trying to improve. But then it's like, oh, but if there's like one dynamic leader who's also inappropriately touching everyone, then it's like, so that's a problem.
Right. Or if there's like certain levels of like, you can't advance unless you pay this amount of money.
Totally.
Like there seems to be like a lot of like money involved
money
in cults.
Or inappropriate sexual conduct.
So I think that's like two things. Like you might be asking yourself, am I in a cult?
Yes.
And if there is inappropriate sexual conduct happening or like money to like advance or level up like a video game,
you're in a cult. Just check it out.
Yeah.
And also if you typically or in the past had an issue with those things, but now all of a sudden you're justifying due to the like laws of this new program, do those things, then that also might be because now like there's been
red
this
flag.
Yeah.
Something
a mind
like won't say brainwashing, but a mind We'll say brainwashing. I was like, I don't actually know how else to say this.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
But it's tricky. But I'm in the self-help world. It makes my job really hard.
So it's good. But I love it because we're on the same page of like, that's why we watch these. That way we can look out for the red flags. Yeah. Of like, ooh, okay, this is going too far.
Yeah. Can I tell you, there is what I suspect could be the beginnings of a cult opening right on the corner by my house. Oh, God. I'm not going to even say the name of it. I kind of forgot. But it's like, they have tea and they're like, welcome and come. And so then I was like, I could see it. And I was like, why did this pop up? I don't know. And then I was like, I'm going to Google it. But I even didn't want to look at it because I was like, you know, you're susceptible. So then I Googled and it's about like nonviolent communication and about, exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to get you in.
And I was like, I can't look at this anymore. And I just want to go and see what they're about. But it's
bring
just
a friend.
Like,
bring a few friends because your one friend might fall into it. In fact, and the fact, like, I know I'm so susceptible. When I went to go learn transcendental meditation, I brought a friend of mine who's like, Maury, who's a listener, a skeptical science woman, doctor, and who has like that skeptical eye. Like, I needed that. And so, like,
interesting.
When we went to the TM free workshop, I looked over at her and she was like, oh, yeah, no, this is science. And so I was like, phew, okay, sign me up. Here's my money now.
Yeah.
But you only have to pay, you only pay once. There's no other. And, you know, tears or whatnot. It's the science was behind it. And I think anything that I like a program that like here, learn this and now go, you know, anything that like, oh, you have to keep coming back. That's where it gets into danger zone.
I'm just that inappropriate or it's no longer about your growth. It's about like the leader's growth. Then it's that's
and I'm crying more than I probably should be on the reg and like having to disassociate yourself from like everybody else.
Yeah.
That's
isolation.
What they'll do. Yeah. And that's like parallels. That's what like happens with a lot of these ladies who are involved with like R. Kelly and stuff. And you see that Gayle King interview?
I didn't.
Oh, wow. Good for you. You've just been really staying away from all this stuff.
I mean, I saw that it happened and I definitely saw the SNL like
it's pretty good.
Spoof,
well,
and
if
it was
you saw
brilliant.
The SNL sketch, then you saw it.
But because it's like, I get it. He flipped out. He got a chance to speak and that's what he did, chose to do with it. Like, I can't go so deep all the time in the foolishness and I didn't want to give him the airtime either.
Ooh, yep, there it is.
So it's like, I get it. Yeah. And she was unbothered. I'm even more so unbothered. But I would rather hear people's stories. Like, I would watch Surviving R. Kelly before I watched him get to speak about his experience.
I think in general, that's what I've been walking away with recently is like, it's important to hear people's stories. And like, I think only 2% of sexual assault allegations or rape claims tend to be false, that it's important to hear these stories. And especially like the first 4 episodes, they will say Surviving R. Kelly. It talks about like Aaliyah. Like, again, all the warning signs and stuff were there.
Right. Which didn't like, register to me, Aaliyah.
It almost looks like, it feels like we've been living in this fog and a cloud, and like even with like Michael Jackson and stuff, that we just were kind of like do to do to do and not really paying attention to the things that were right in front of us. And
well,
it feels like we're waking up. I think with hashtag me too, I think we're waking up more.
Well, I definitely know being the age that I was, and so this is what I can speak on. I haven't seen Surviving R. Kelly, but you know, the word predator was not definitely associated with him, but definitely not even a word I was really thinking, which also tells me how at danger I could have been, even though, I mean, I was definitely raised with like stranger danger and that whole thing and scared of everything.
But like Oprah talks about in her special with leaving Neverland, got it right again. Just like there's a seduction that happens and that with, especially these artists, they are so high profile that we've already fallen in love with them, you know? And so there's not, the warning flags aren't there as much. And that a lot of times with these assaults like this, it's someone that you know, and there's a, it doesn't feel like you, I think we think about abuse and we think like it's someone battered in a corner crying, but sometimes it doesn't actually look like that. It can be very confusing, especially for children and if they're younger or sometimes like, so it's so much more complicated and that hurt people and that there's a cycle of abuse.
For sure.
R. Kelly was abused himself, sexually abused as a child. Michael Jackson, I really believe that he was.
Oh my God, yeah.
Whitney Houston was as well when she was a kid. So it's like, what I preach about these stories is for us to tell these stories so we can then stop the cycle of abuse from happening.
Right. It's important to like know if that's you even that you need to be taken care of, you know?
Right,
So, Yeah. I don't know if you have to go more.
Something fun. So On My Block is back, season 2.
Awesome.
And I have to tell you, there's so much programming. So On My Block, it's on Netflix. It's like a group of kids living in like LA. What part of LA?
South Central.
And so it's a fun, like coming of age story from a group of like kids that you normally don't get to see. It's usually like white kids, and it's like Latino and black kids. Mm-hmm. The one black kid, but like they're but it's just it's so cute
but
and
they're
fun.
All culturally the same because they're growing up on that block,
they're on that same block. I have to tell you this, I forgot that there's so much programming that happens, kind of forgot, and I can tell you this, I don't remember really any. I know I enjoyed watching the show
in one day, right?
We binge watched it. I don't remember really anything that happens. I can't tell you a single character's name.
Moises.
Oh, good.
That's the one we love.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. But I'm excited that it's back. Like,
I'm not confident about that name now that I think about it. Because I was like, is that the girl or the guy, actually? So.
Yeah. I'm excited to dive back in.
Too.
But I'm going to have to really watch when they're like, this is what happened last season.
I think that you left. So we watched the whole series together.
Yeah, we did.
And so I think you left before the end. Because I don't feel like we saw the end together. And you definitely have to watch the end.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So that could be why. And so you.
Maybe that's why I don't really remember.
Yeah. It's really good.
Okay.
And I remember trying to research when is it coming out again, because I got to know, you know, all these things. And then it was like so long that I was like, I just have to take this out of my heart. And so I'm so glad that you're telling me now.
Yeah, it's back. I know you do not like to wait for these seasons to start back up. I try to get you on the How to Go With Murder. And you're just like, but I have to wait like a year for it.
That's hard. Especially that. It's like a quiz. So then you have to go back, you know, and
a lot of plots to keep up on. That's how I feel about the new Star Trek that just came out. I'm a binge. Like, I like to binge certain series, and like it's coming on like every week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, waiting until it's all done.
Yeah.
And then I can eat it up. Because that's how I watched the first season of the new Star Trek with there's a black female lead.
Yeah.
So good. Highly recommend.
Awesome.
It says what I feel like Star Trek is always supposed to do, which is like push the envelope of what the future is supposed to look like.
Right.
And there's prominent like, you know, interracial gay couple that's on there. There's like very strong female characters, very diverse.
Oh, cool.
Like it's really good.
That is good. I love that.
Well, I think we got to get into the episode.
Okay.
All right.
We're not in the episode.
Well, I mean, like, this is just the kicker. This is just the...
Ah, the appetizer was R. Kelly. I see.
And now, to help us deal with that, you're going to kick it off with your 5 levels of interaction.
Yes.
Pledge break. Ooh.
Oh my God. I'm coming back for the pledge
break. Aneke loves the Maximum Fun Drive. It's such a big year, big time of year. We gotta bring our boo back.
I gotta come back for this.
Back.
You've been holding down the fort so well leave you alone for this opportunity again.
And it wouldn't seem right doing it without you. Like, I love the Max Fun Fun Drive so much. It's like Max Fun Christmas. It's one of my favorite times.
Hell yeah.
Because we have all the shows across the network who are all banding together to come together to support the network and just all the wonderful work and shows that we do here.
Oh my God.
And it's an opportunity for you as the listeners to really get involved in the community of Max Fun and to really feel like you have like ownership and that you're really like involved.
Like, don't you want to be a member? Like, you've been listening, you've been casual, you've been clicking around. Like, join the family. Marry in. Actually be a part of the Max Fun family and become a member.
We know you like it, so put a ring on it. And for those of you who are already members, it's a great opportunity to renew your vows, I would say.
Yes!
And, you know, kick it up a notch.
Show us that you love us and it hasn't gone dead.
Yeah, you still there? And for some, like, you know, and also, like, we're have a huge goal of reaching 25,000 new and upgrading members. So we know that we've picked up new members along the year. And some of you are already members and you want to kick it up a notch. And we have such a great way of thanking you for...
It's just like a wedding. You get gifts.
You get gifts. We have all kinds of gifts we're going to talk to you about later on in the show, but we have all different kinds of levels. So there's really what I love about the Maximum Fun Drive. It's an opportunity for everyone to get involved at whatever level they feel comfortable at.
It all counts.
It all counts. It's all so helpful. And you're helping to give towards media and all the different, you know, I think, you know, media is under attack underneath Trump's America. And it's a great way for you. And we literally can't do the show without you. Like,
we need you.
It's been so
listening and contributions. Yeah. Like, you guys are our heroes.
It literally takes a village here. And it's been so helpful with you all. We've been able to get our amazing editor, Woody, on board. We've been able to increase our, you know, our sound and audio. If you've been here from the beginning, you know it's gotten better.
Yes, it's gotten so much better. And that's because of you.
Yes.
Because of your contributions, we've been able to upgrade our mics. We've been able to upgrade ourselves.
And just be able to continue to do the show. Like, we love doing it. And it's honestly because of the Maximum Fun Drive and for all of you members who joined last year and the year before and those who are going to be joining this year, you are the reason why we're able to sustain and do this great work. And we know that you believe in this work, and that's why we're here. So let's get you involved at some level, the $5 level, the $10 level, $20, whatever you got. Maybe you're balling and you're like, $200 a month, baby. Well,
yes, because we were really asking you to become a Max Fun monthly member.
Yes.
That's the main ask that we're you know, pitching to you guys right now.
Come on board. And also, before we even get there, I just want to say huge, huge thanks to all of our current monthly members.
Yes.
We're just so grateful for all of you all. And we want to get you excited to increase your support this year during the Pledge Drive, because that way you're going to be able to get some of the awesome gifts that we're offering to new and upgrading members. So unfortunately, if you just stay as the same membership, which you are, which we love and appreciate that, you're not going to get some awesome gifts though. So the only way to get those gifts is to renew those vows.
Yes. So how do you become a member?
Oh my God. Look at her. See, motherhood has changed her. She's got these great questions. Just right. She just knows.
Mama knows.
She knows to ask the right questions. It's super easy. It's super easy. You just go to MaximumFun.org/donate.
Okay, that's easy.
It's pretty easy, right? You just do it on your phone. You can do it on your little iPhone, your Android, your computer, whatever you got. And then
could you tell me that URL one more time?
Oh, yeah. It is MaximumFun.org/donate. So I'm actually like, you know what? Whip out your phone. I'm going to walk you through how to do it right now, because I know you all are very busy Zennials, millennials, baby boomers, whatever the newest generation is. Gen X.
Don't forget those people.
Gen Z. You're busy. We're all busy. So do it right now.
You
got things to do. So let this just check it out the box right now. MaximumFun.org/donate. And then you'll provide your credit card, some basic information, including which Max Fun show that you listen to.
And that's important.
Make sure to click us. Make sure.
Minority Corner.
Check the box, baby. Check the box. And your membership, then, it's ongoing and will process automatically every month. So you don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about anything unless your card expires or you decide to cancel. And maybe for some of you, you got a new card last year and it actually hasn't been going through each month. So get back on.
Time to check that out. Got to figure out. You need to update your CVV.
Update. Ooh. Look at her saying them fancy words that only a parent will know.
I mean, you should know what a CVV is, James.
I'm young and single with no child.
you have...
So, with all that said, now is a great time. Like, again, we don't want you to lose... We want you to be a part of this excitement. When we're going to cross that as a team, as a Maximum Fun community, when we're going to reach our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading members, we want you to be a part of that when we celebrate to get to that finish line. And it's so easy
to
do.
The coolest thing about this right now is that we're not live. So if you pause us right now, you can go and do this, come back, and we'll pick up right where you paused us.
Right where you paused us. It's just that easy. We're not going anywhere. So just do it. But make sure you do it while it's still running within these 2 weeks that the Maximum Fun drive is happening. Get involved. Be a part. And we just want to thank you in advance, because we can't do it without you.
Yes.
And you know what? In our next segment, we're going to tell you some of those awesome gifts that you can get.
Ooh, how exciting!
Get those gifts for the wedding.
A gift parade. Go do it now. Pause us.
Jen's Corner. Jen. We're in Jen's Corner.
Awesome.
You didn't know you'd get that intro music.
I didn't. I'm just still so chuffed to bits to be here. And so I just got excited.
I don't know what chuffed means, but I'm into it.
Yeah, it's like a UK term. Ooh. It means totally pleased.
Wow. Learn, laugh, and play here at Minority Quarter. It's so cultural. All right. Well, I'm chuffed for you to be here too.
So there's this group called MKP, the Mankind Project, and they do work, talked about being in the self-help world. I'm definitely in the women's empowerment leaning side of that. And so, there's definitely, I've learned about masculinity and femininity, and I know that like I have masculine ways where I'm like driven, and then I really have to learn to get more into my feminine. Mm. Also just, raised by a mom who grew up in a time where like women could only wear skirts and then they could wear pants. Wow. And then the way equality meant to be more manlike. Mm. And so now what we're learning is that the feminine has power and the masculine has power, and that we both have both energies in us and their spectrums and all that kind of thing.
And you need both, right?
And isn't you need both.
The yin and the yang.
Yes, totally.
I say yang because that's what Marianne Williamson says.
So then I would not question it any further.
I don't know if that means I'm part of a cult, but that's how Marianne Williamson says it.
If you are,
it.
Is it a bad thing?
Not if if there's a cult with Marianne Williamson, I'm okay with signing
that's
up
what
for
I'm
that
saying.
One. You know?
Yep. So,
all right.
Inconclusive. Cults, good, bad, I don't know. As long as they're good, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and I feel like there's a lot of like the feminine and women, or those who identify as women, like in circle holding hands, and there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like there's a lot of space being held for men and the masculine and how to be masculine but still sensitive, because there is a paradigm shift, and so it's like, how are you really like conscious and caring? And so my husband was looking into that, and I was like, I'm not well versed in that. I have no idea. Yeah. And so the Mankind Project does that kind of work.
Oh, cool.
So it's really cool. I mean, unofficial plug, but so they do workshops and they meet or whatever, but they sometimes do open workshops. Yeah. Where they invite all the energies. Oh. In. So they did a weekend workshop called Issues and Isms.
Ooh.
No, Isms and Issues.
Even better.
So I went. I, in turn, was the only woman in the room. Wow. So that was...
But it was open to like every...
It was. And men came up to me like, oh, my wife was going to come. Oh, my girlfriend was going to come. I was like, but she didn't.
But she didn't.
But I think it's intimidating, to go to like the Mankind Project workshop.
Yeah.
But it lent itself to some great conversation of just, we had to do exercises. And a lot of times I was the only voice,
right.
But yeah. That is often my experience as a woman, like in professional settings, especially back in the day. And so
when you're working at like what you were at Budweiser.
Exactly. Prime example. No, that
okay.
was no.
Okay.
That was a dream. And that's why I went to New York for a week. And I was like, no, I'm going to move to LA. I feel like they would get me more.
Yeah. Good choice.
Totally. But that was a good old boy club, and
course.
It's just whatever. So yeah, but they admired me for being there. But there's something that I learned there that I wanted to share on Minority Corner, because I just think once I learned this, I could see how the arguments that happen online or even interfamilial arguments, that it's really an issue of like communication, or this is called the five levels of interaction. But to me, it's like kind of like the five levels of communication,
which is the key to life.
With the key to life. Communication is key. So I'm just going to read off the five levels and then talk about the two that I think matter the most and then give a real life example.
Ooh, okay.
So the first level is personal, and that's just like me, you, the individual. It's personal, right? Then interpersonal is you and I speaking to one another, but it's just two, usually a safe space, and then the next level is group, right? So that's three or more people.
Okay.
Then there is cultural.
You're going to say cult. I got cult on the brain. And then there's the cult level of communicating.
Cult level.
Which that would be like, brainwashing.
That is a sub level for sure. I think it's in between the two I just said.
Yeah.
But cultural is like society, right? So when you're mentioning society, that's the cultural level.
Yeah.
And so just even saying like the on my block kids are from the same culture. Like their races are different, but their culture is the same because they grew up on the same block.
Yeah.
And there's codes and all that kind of thing. And then the next level, the last level, is institutional. And that's where the systems come into place. And so when people talk about systemic racism, right, that's the level they're speaking on.
Yeah.
So an example, I'll do an example first so people can just get this, because what's happening when we're all miscommunicating and arguing and not understanding why people don't get our point, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or what, or at Thanksgiving dinner, it's because I find we don't all agree, of course, but it's also, I think we're all speaking on different levels and we're just missing each other. So prime example is me at home. I'm just going to call my own self out. It's
the
best way.
Anecdote. Yes. Okay.
And it could be anything. And my conclusion will be like, my frustration's with the patriarchy, you know, and I'm always calling it out. And of course, I'm married to a wonderful man who is just wonderful and sensitive and caring and great and conscious, all that. Right.
Yep.
And he knows it.
Yeah.
So when I am saying like, I'm so frustrated because of the patriarchy and this, that, and the other, what does he do? He gets personally offended because he's like, well, I don't do that.
Right.
I don't think that way. Yeah. That's not your experience here.
With me. Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
And so what's happening there and what the aha moment was during this workshop is because I'm speaking on an institutional level, the patriarchy is here, whether you individual are doing it or not.
Right.
And he's speaking on a personal level because he's like, well, personally, I don't do that.
Mm.
And so I feel like when people are speaking of like, even just like job discrimination, they're like, well, my company doesn't do that, but it's still systemic.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Or I can see like a lot of people get like attacked of like, well, I'm not, you know, a part of like is a white person being like, well, I'm not like, you know, I'm not a part of this racism stuff that's happening.
Right.
But doesn't negate that this stuff is happening on a huge sort of systemic institutional level.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just a note, really.
So is it, I feel like it's maybe twofold as well, because I feel like your anger at the patriarchy is also valid, but I also wonder if there's a separate filter for someone. It's that thing of like, if, you know, if someone's giving a giant note to like the entire classroom, if you weren't participating in, you know, throwing the toilet paper at the teacher, and the teacher's like, everyone's acting so crazy, but you know that you weren't a part of that, then you just filter that out, that like, I know what they're talking about, but they're not talking about me, so I don't maybe need to take it so personally.
Well, here's the thing about it is that and it gets tricky because we went from personal to interpersonal to group. And so the more you add those layers, the more you can disassociate.
Mm.
And so it's just about knowing that. And so that's why when people say, well, you're part of the privileged class, or you're a part of that privileged group.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not privileged. I'm broke. Or no, I'm not. But it's like, but you are.
Right.
You know, and so on an institutional level, on a systemic level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I've never in a job or anything had to worry about my employment because of my sexual orientation, for example. It's just something that has never, and that's not the case for everyone. So I'm not enforcing it, but just know that you're still part of that, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to mean you're bad, but you could be part of the change because you are part of, you do make up that institution. And so you could also be part of breaking down that institution because you are complicit in it. If you're just in it.
I love that. It's also like, I think owning it. I feel like by me not owning the privileges I have as a man doesn't help anybody, you know, like it's like, well, let me own this because now like I can get into certain rooms and hold conversations or hold certain spaces or help to direct certain, especially as an artist, of like, let's get more, you know, women involved in this project or like, you know, like speaking up because I'm in certain rooms and spaces, you know?
Yeah. And people respond differently because of who you are just when you walk in the room and the assumptions that are made.
Or even recognizing like try to make a conscious effort. Like I've said this before in the podcast, but like when I'm speaking with like women, like if I'm interrupting a lot and I'm like, oh, am I doing this because like I'm a man, or do I just interrupt everybody? And then sometimes it's like, well, I just interrupt everybody, you know, or just, but it also makes me more conscious of like, I'm sure that like women probably are used to yielding to this male voice a little bit more. Mm. So let me, even though I might interrupt everybody, I'm going to try doing it a little bit less right now.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's all I gotta say.
Oh,
but I mean, so that's, I just think that if you can review, you know, like conversations you've had or interactions that have been having you, listener, and you, James, and me and myself and I as well. But just looking at those levels and just thinking about what level are you talking at?
Yeah.
Because sometimes the frustration is the miscommunication.
Totally.
And so I just think that's another layer that's there. But I mean, you know, and also you can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
There's another element about this that we talked about on the workshop that I wanted to talk about too. Sometimes we use the term target group, and they were using that a lot in the workshop. But another term they used was historically included and historically excluded groups.
Oh.
And I thought that was really helpful for communication as well, because especially when we're talking about having these groups of speaking on diversity and things, some people don't want to go in the room because they don't want to feel like a victim. You know, they feel like they're in these target groups, but they don't want to feel like that.
Yeah.
You know, just like being like a Black woman or part of the Black community, like we don't want to feel disempowered or feel it's like, are you kidding? All that we've survived, you know, so you sometimes don't want that energy.
Yeah.
And then anyone who is trying to grow and educate and maybe does have a lot of privilege or in those, you know, privileged groups don't want to go and feel like they're targeting people. And so me and like a couple of people in the group were like, we like the term historically include and historically excluded, because that's not an opinion and there's not an attack. It's just facts.
It's like just fact.
Historically, there have been groups that were excluded and included.
Yeah.
Invisible or, you know, invisible or discriminated or invited in. And I think that also helps when people are like, I mean, Obama's president, so racism is over. It's like, but historically, you know, and we see now the future, what happened after that.
Exactly. Yeah. What happened there?
We got the ultimate rebuttal. But I just think it really helps to just saying like historically excluded groups, because historically people were in a different time, but we still have centuries of certain things that were put in place, and that's what we're still reeling from. You know, all those things, all these groups that have been invisible, you know, even up into the past 5 years that we weren't even talking about. You know, so I just think that's also interesting, because it's just a fact. It's not an opinion. It's not like, oh, I'm not targeting you. All my best friends are Black. It's like, right. But historically
And that
couldn't own land, couldn't have housing.
And that just puts the history into it. Yeah.
And because people will be like, that was my granddad. That wasn't me. But so again, it's like, but your friend, your Black friend, John. Yeah.
Well, I think it also goes to like the remove like the layers of how you're getting it. So you're putting it so personally into you. So put it back to the historical institutions.
Yes.
So again, like, I guess take those different steps. I think people get take things so personally.
Right.
But if you can kind of remove it and take it to like the group, like you're saying, kind of let, I think that like, you've laid out a really good step of like when you're feeling personally attacked by something, it's like, okay, this is me, but then I'm a part of this group. And then historically the institutions of this.
Take
it back.
So even if it's your coworker where you're like, you make the same salary, you know, we sit at the same table, but you guys are arriving at that table from two different historical standpoints.
Yes.
And that's what people are usually talking about.
Yes.
And so that just bridges that gap of communication. And then what are you going to do with that information? What are you going to do with your power? What are you going to do with your privilege from that point?
From that point.
But you do make up the group.
Yeah. I think you've actually set up the next corner so perfectly.
Thank
if you're
you.
Right, like, this is a great primer, because this next conversation, you know, some people might get their antennas and their defenses already up. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about affirmative action.
Amidst
all this, you know, college admission scandal, I think it's a perfect time to talk about affirmative action.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Just about this, how this was introduced to me.
Yeah.
So my husband was like, oh my God, there was this scandal that happened. I was like, what? And he was like, there were these rich white kids that were cheating to get in college. And I was like, oh. And like went back to work. Because I was like,
what
that's
else is
not new?
Yeah.
Until then I heard, I was like, oh.
The details of it.
Well, he really got me from Becky from Full House. I was like, oh, no, she did.
Aunt Becky from Full House. She has been a classic Becky. So we're going to jump into that, into the next section. Is it news? But also, affirmative action is working, but for who?
Ooh, we are back.
Ooh, it's so good. It's so good having you back here for for the Max Fun Drive.
It feels
I know you couldn't
really
miss
good.
This.
No, I could not miss this. And you know what I'm here to do right now for the second time that we're having a little pledge break?
Yeah, what? Wait, what?
We're going to talk about gifts.
Ooh, gifts, baby, gifts.
I know,
I love gifts.
The fun part. This is like the, yes, the cool, fun, awesome pledge gifts 2019. Get to tell you what you're going to get for each of the different sections.
It makes sense because what's the saying? Give and you shall receive. Ooh, so you're getting something back.
This is what you're receiving. So now I just want to like tell everybody that it builds up. So everything that I say, you're going to get the previous one. Okay. So yeah, for a $5 monthly membership, you get exclusive bonus content.
Mmm, yes you do. Which, ooh, and we have a very special bonus episode.
Yes,
where we've talked about this before, and you're gonna get an episode where it's a Minority Corner movie review of Halle Berry's Kidnapped.
Mmm.
Only to members. If you're a member, only members are gonna get this bonus episode. It's so good. Me and your lady kicking it down.
Okay, so that's gonna be on the $5 monthly membership. Now, we're moving it up to a $10 monthly membership.
Okay.
And we got the pin. Now, this is our third pin that we've been working with. We got artist extraordinaire Megan Lynn Cott, who has done work for us. She's like done a beautiful shirt that we featured last Christmas. And she's done all of our pins. She's doing all the pins for the show. So you got to collect them. If you already got the two previous pin, why not get the third pin?
Yeah.
It's
hella cute. Them all.
Yeah.
Yes,
and it says...
It's the trifecta, the trinity of pens.
Yes, this one is because the kids gotta learn, says it on a pin. It is so
I love
cute.
This.
I love it.
I loved all of the pins, but I'm loving this pin so hard right now.
This one makes me so happy. And remember, you're also getting the bonus content along with that. Now, if you want to kick it up to $20 a monthly membership... You can get a 18x24 inch 550-piece maximum fun puzzle. It's designed by Jeffrey Tice specifically for maximum fun monthly members. So your ass is going to be the only ones who gets this.
Whoa! And who doesn't love a good puzzle? That's fun,
right?
That is
exactly
fun.
So. You're going to get that with your pin, with your bonus content. And then on top of that, if you really want to, if you are up getting higher.
Just kicking it up a notch. You're like, it's been a good year for me. I got a little bonus I want to give back to my community.
$35 monthly membership. You are going to get a glass coffee mug engraved with the Max Fun Rocket logo.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh my God. I mean, you already had me at that puzzle, but now as I'm doing that puzzle, I get to sip coffee out of this cute ass mug.
Yes.
Wearing my pin.
Listening
to my
bonus content.
Like win. I just feel like I'm winning at that point.
So good. Okay, now we're getting into baller status, and all of you people who can afford this money, I appreciate you. I love you, and it helps us all. And that's totally wonderful. So $50 monthly membership. Okay. You can get a metal engraved Max Fun membership card. Personalized.
Whoa.
With your name.
Hot diggity. Hot diggity.
Right?
Who doesn't love a little personalized card?
That's amazing. You can slip that into your wallet, bang it out sometimes, you know, really introduce people to the Maximum Fun family. Get
them
involved.
I'm part of the fam. Yeah, love that. Because it really takes a village. At that point, you are just such a huge monthly contributor. You definitely earn that card.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, $100 monthly membership. You get membership to the Inner Circle, which is a monthly cultural club. What? So you get all sorts of stuff with this culture club that is monthly.
Okay.
Your gift continues throughout the year. It is
Damn.
Not just a one-time thing. You get,
okay.
You're a part of this culture club. And so that's for a $100 monthly membership. And then, drum roll.
I'm drumming.
For the $200 monthly membership, you get free registration for MaxFunCon 2020.
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
That's a fun time. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to go.
Exactly. Like, James and I both went to Max Fun Con and both had an amazing time.
It's an amazing adventure. It's an amazing experience. It's like summer camp for adults, and you just around everybody who is part of the Maximum Fun community. This is a dope ass community. And to get like, oh my God, just to be able to go for, because you're already contributing, you're such a huge part of what makes Maximum Fun at that level. Like, awesome, amazing. And so you get to be a a part of that and help us by reaching by into a small thank you from us, because you are at that point helping us to reach our goal of 25,000 new and upgrading members.
Yes.
And by helping to support your favorite shows like us, like some of the other shows. And again, we can't do the show without you.
Yeah. So just pause before you pause us. Remember, you need to go to MaximumFun.org/donate. You can pause right now. And then
do
go
it.
Donate some money.
Pause
thank
it up.
You. Become a member.
All right. So jumping back into the conversation, yes, about, you know, Aunt Becky with the good hair was up to no good. And, you know, it's so funny because, like, you know, I essentially for this scandal, you know, a lot of people were trying to say, like, how unfair a lot of people for a long time have been saying how unfair affirmative action is, mm-hmm, and that it gives a leg up to a select group of people. And here you have a select group of people buying their advantage. Right. And so you got this whole entire scandal. And I would say this, you know, affirmative action, it's still going strong and always has been going strong for white people.
Mm.
White affirmative action has been in full effect for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk about white versus black schools. And so... Okay. White schools tend to get better funding. They have more resources. And in this article, I was reading from The Root, and they said why it's important to actually talk about it as black versus white schools instead of rich versus poor is because the National Center for Educational Statistics reports that 3/4 of black high school students attend schools where most of their classmates are poor, and citing that the statistics are the number one indicator of inferior school. Mm. So 3/4 of these students are actually going to these poor schools, which are predominantly black.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of call it what it is, mm-hmm, you know? And I think sometimes by not saying what it is,
yeah,
oh, it's a class thing and some part of it. But the largest thing, the economic disadvantages are happening because these folks are black. And Jim Crow really, mm-hmm, started to create the huge education gaps that we had. You know, federal governments distribute money equally. It's even when they distribute money equally, black schools still end up at a funding disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
When you had redlining and segregation, essentially made it so banks wouldn't lend to black folks,
mm-hmm,
made it too risky.
Mm-hmm.
Today,
institutions.
Yeah, it's like all the language that you helped set us up so well for this conversation. 41% of African American homeowners own property in black neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And now, according to the National Association of Homeownership is the number one driver to wealth, mm-hmm, because it accounts for about 25% of what your assets are.
Mm.
And so if you look at this, and with home and redlining, about 25% in these lower, about 25% lower than those in white neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a black neighborhood, your home's already valued, right, at less. And the average home, mm-hmm, in a black neighborhood is devalued by about $48,000, mm-hmm, simply because black people live in the area.
Isn't that something?
So it's about massive, about $156 billion decrease,
mm,
in property values because they're black. And so, duh, black neighborhoods become poorer. And then it's a cycle. Then these neighborhood schools are not getting funding.
Right.
And so we see how the cycle already at the base level, we're not even in college
yet.
We're just
learning to read.
We're just learning what shapes are, and we're already at this disadvantage. And there was a 2019 study by eBuild that says non-white students receive about $23 billion less in funding.
Wow.
$23 billion less.
And yet we still rise.
And
we still rise.
And we have, but that's the thing is that, like, we literally are running through a gauntlet of,
amen,
like, jumping through flames and, like, boulders and arrows coming at you.
Oh,
and
God,
there's a different track that these other white folks are on where they're just kind of jogging along, or they'll get a ride to the next sort of stop. And we have to go through all this shit just, mm-hmm, to make it to the other side where they are.
Mm.
So it works out to be about $2,226 less per student than a white school district.
Wow.
So this results in fewer AP classes, advanced placement programs, STEM classes. About 1/4 of the majority of minority high school schools don't even offer a second year of algebra honors courses.
Wow.
And usually 2 years of algebra is required for college admissions.
Mm.
So you're already not going to school. You're already not going to college.
And I can even speak on the Oakland Unified side because I dabbled in that area for a second. And when you are at that like grade school and middle school age and you don't have the reading comprehension, like all that funding really does matter. Yeah. And then behavioral stuff starts coming up, yeah, because kids are not being educated, yep, properly, and they're, yeah, overcompensating. And if no one cares, then they're not going to school, and then they're in the street, and, yep, then it's easy to be like, well, then that's what they do. But it's like, no, we were starting at a disadvantage
already.
Yeah.
And then starting at a disadvantage, and then the disadvantage just continues to get worse.
Yeah. The gap widens. And yes, so you're talking about college admissions. Those are the people who make it to 12th grade to even be even in that running. But so many don't even get there.
Yeah. Well, and then maybe there's, you know, some people are like, well, maybe things are better at more integrated schools.
Okay.
Not for Black students, because statistically, they're not recommended for higher level classes, disciplined more harshly, as studies have shown, suspended more frequently. Mm-hmm. They found that like we are just overrepresented in terms of like high school suspensions, corporal punishment, school related arrests. I actually remembered, like, little old me, I was class president freshman year. I was a freshman in algebra, and I remember we had a substitute for like 2 months. And I am not a bad student, but this teacher, I was in trouble all the time. Mm. And at the time, I didn't recognize what was happening. I was getting in detention all the time.
Detention?
I don't remember what my teacher finally came back after 2 months. She was like, what happened? And looking back, I'm like, I was targeted, yeah, you know? Like, I was not doing anything that crazy, but this teacher thought I was just the devil. They looked at my skin and was just like, he's trouble.
Well, and what happens, it wasn't 2 months of that. It was probably 2 weeks of you being unjustly, and then you be like, no, you want to see clowning?
Yeah.
Because I would have, you know?
I'm sure after a while, because now we had this antagonistic relationship and whatnot. Yeah. And I got a little taste of what some students experienced their entire sort of educational career early on. Mm-hmm. I think there's a statistic that if a black student has at least one Black teacher, by the time they're in the fifth grade, they're like 5 times more likely to go to college.
So interesting.
Yeah.
I definitely remember all my Black teachers.
Yeah.
Like, that did matter.
So this brings us to affirmative action for white folks.
Ooh.
How this works. So some folks are like, yes, you should, you know, earn your merits and ability to get into college. And yes, nobody's denying
100%.
That. You should earn that. Absolutely. No one's arguing about that. But we're also assuming, like you were saying, that we're all starting off equally at the same point, mm-hmm, treated the same as we go along, and have the same resources. And that's not the world that we have. So the theory is that it's easier. There's a theory so that it's easier to get into college if you're white. Well, let's look at the statistics.
Okay.
So in 2017, 6.8% of Black people who applied to Harvard were accepted. 7% of white applicants were accepted into the school. So you're thinking like, well, the numbers are almost the same. Okay, hold on. The acceptance rate for Asians were 5.8%. Yikes, lower. Hmm. And then the largest group of students accepted... legacy students.
How are you going to put that as its own? Because it's an outlier.
It is. 33% of legacy students were accepted. And so when you like 33%. And so they're accepted 5 times at the rate of non-legacy students. And this is not just at Harvard. At Notre Dame and Georgetown, legacy admissions rate were twice the rate of regular students, according to the Wall Street Journal. At Princeton, legacy admissions rate is 4 times the rate of non-legacy admissions. It's happening all over the country. And it's become sort of a backup white affirmative action because it becomes a cycle. These students are...
Yeah, you're good.
The schools are predominantly these white schools as it is. So you can already depict that those legacy students are predominantly white students, and the cycle just sort of continues.
And I've never looked into these statistics, but that's why, like, I don't want to say that I thought that everyone cheated to get into school, but when my hubby was like, oh, people are, you know, getting into school any kind of way, I was like, yeah, like, because you just know about that legacy thing, and it's just like, that's the way it is. And it's not based on merit. We say that it's a meritocracy, but we all know it's not. And for me, my complacency of like shrug was like, why is that cool? Like, why are you even cool with that? You know?
Yeah. And so it's just these systems of how these universities are essentially to keep the minorities out. Susan Dynarowski.
Okay.
I've said that wrong, but she's a professor. She knows who she is.
Yeah.
And she knows what she says.
And Google knows. So
yeah,
you
and
look
Google
that up.
Knows. And I'll link the article. She's a professor of economics at the University of Michigan. And she says there's a lot more kids at elite colleges because their parents are rich than because they're brown or Black. which is what's happening. So this whole entire myth about affirmative action, and there's other factors that are helping these white students as well. Admission exceptions. So that's a rule that colleges use to allow some students to enroll even though they don't meet the minimum requirements. And it's usually for like athletes or low income and rural students, but sometimes it is exploited by white wealthy folks with inside connections into universities.
Mm-hmm.
Recommendation letters are also a way that help to, you know, depending on if you're able to get a recommendation letter.
For sure. If they're funding the library, then you're in, pal.
Which is also one of the things. Yeah. Like wealthy donations, like Jared Kushner's dad, who donated $2.5 million to Harvard. So buying your way into this university.
We ain't all able.
No, we're not all able. Especially too, because it's like the wage gap might be closing, but the wealth gap is not. It's been just increasing over the last few decades. The interview process, especially if you're with an all-white panel or predominantly white panel, implicit bias will show up at that panel sometimes, which these people on the panel should be trained on, like that they might have bias. They should have bias training.
Why though? Like, who does that benefit?
Yeah. Like, I mean, because like I know, like even when I've had jobs before of like when I'm reviewing other people, we learned about implicit bias so that we're aware that we all have bias and that we need to check it. Preparation for college. You know, white students have more access to preparation. They have parents. They are more likely that they have parents who attended college.
Right.
Non-white students make up the majority of first-generation students in post-secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting prep classes, help, motivation, push, drive, private tutors, interview prep, getting into elite K through 12 schools that are already going to be prepping you for this track. Writing coaches to help massage the kids' college applications. So it's like all these different things
tools.
So some FAQs about this whole entire situation.
Right. This is such an interesting take, though, your affirmative action. That it's cool.
Yeah. There was affirmative action. It's working for white people. Does wealth make a difference?
What?
Well, so like what if they're black wealthy students trying to get into college? So to answer
this
that
universe?
Or
in an alternate universe.
In this universe.
Okay.
So like if you're black and wealthy, is that going to help you to get into college? So white students whose parents are in the top 20% of income earners are accepted to elite college at higher rates than the top 0.1% of wealthy non-white Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're black and wealthy does not mean that you're going to necessarily have the same leg up.
Right.
If you were white and wealthy.
But it's like, does it help? It does help,
right.
I'm sure, but
it's not going to be the thing that's going to clinch it for you.
And the other, I mean, then there's so much, and then you're in the school, and the, you know, there's so much even beyond that.
Even from once you're there as well. Mm-hmm. And fun bit of trivia, about 4 in 10 rich students from the top 0.1% attend an Ivy League or elite university.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Which is roughly equal to the percentage of poor students who attend any college.
Oh, wow.
Are white students better test takers? Some might ask. No. to answer that question and deliver more on that. So white students made up about 33% of the top scores on the SATs in 2015, but they were 40% of Ivy League admissions, 62% of students admitted to top liberal arts college, and 49% of the people selected for flagship public universities, according to the New York Times. So it ain't their test scores that are helping them get in there. It ain't that.
Which I guess we found out we know, and that's why this whole
thing is happening. And some other interesting facts, it does not end. Black students who graduate from elite colleges are less likely to find a job than a white graduate from any college. White high school dropouts earn more money than black college graduates.
Shut up.
Yep. Black men who grew up with wealthy parents are as likely to earn a high income as a white kid who grew up poor. So it just sort of evens that out.
Which is what you were just saying.
Black men raised by millionaires are as likely to be incarcerated as white men raised by families earning $36,000 per year. White college graduates are 8 times wealthier than black college graduates. The children of white high school graduates are more likely to go to college than black children whose parents have PhDs. So this is the real scandal, as that's why you gave a shrug to like Aunt Becky and lady from the
Felicity
Desperate Housewife.
Huffman.
Felicity Huffman. That's why there's that sort of eye roll that was happening.
Well, definitely though, when I learned that they were like paying to get their SAT, like to take the SATs, and then like that sometimes the kids didn't even know.
Yeah.
I was like, oh,
this is a scandal.
Wow.
Yeah. And the lengths, and just all like the lengths that they were going to of like, you know, photoshopping their pictures on other students is like, like that you're on this crew team. Oh yeah. They like photoshop their pictures onto other students, proving that they were on the crew team. So it was also like the coaches were also like scandalously involved. And then also there was an interview, like Aunt Becky's daughter, who's like a social influencer, was like, I don't even really want to go to college. Like, I don't even like, so their parents are doing all this shit and they don't even want to go.
Yeah.
They don't even care.
It's so interesting. And to me, I just can tell it's a world that I don't know anything about, because it's like, why was it that serious? Because at that point, it's like the kids didn't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't your perfectly cool enough kid just like go to the local college or go to the college two states over? Like, what's wrong with that, really? You know, for it to be this deep, it's just like, what's...
And I think Aunt Becky's husband like made slams against like other, you know, like ASU.
Yeah.
And like
that was like in the email where he's like, my kid's not going to ASU for God's sake or something. Like, what's wrong? It's a college level.
In your kid, how mediocre is your fucking kid that you've had all these advantages and your kid can't get into this university on their own merit? Then,
right.
Like, they don't deserve to be there. And there's like, you know, a lot of, you know, POC folks who've gone to these Ivy League schools were tweeting out how they would, you know, be, you know, teased and called like affirmative action baby.
Right. And they earn their way there.
And meanwhile, you have all these legacy students who's no one's talking about, like, well, you're only here because your dad bought a fucking life. Library or whatnot,
right? Which, from a, you know, psychology standpoint, it's they probably do know that and they're insecure about it. That's why they're coming at the POC.
Yeah,
but doesn't make it right.
This, you know, we were talking about like, you know, Black and Latino, Latinx students have to be exceptional, and white students can just be rich, and that's enough for them to get in. Mm-hmm. Even with affirmative action, Black and Hispanic students are more underrepresented at Ivy League schools than they were several decades ago.
Oh, so really?
It's only been getting worse. Nearly 2/3 of white people oppose such policies, according to a 40-year study, and only 10% of Black people do oppose things like affirmative action. And, you know, race-based affirmative action was meant to correct this historic system of inequality, to give access to folks who were starting further behind.
Yeah.
But this undoes all of that. You know, it's power and privilege replicating itself, and it's just a lifelong system, and we need to really hack away at this whole entire... Legacies is a huge sort of issue.
Yeah, now just from what you're bringing up, it's like, if you have affirmative action, the traditional one you think of, and then you have legacy, like, they can't exist in the same world.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like one's checking a box and one's what you really want to do.
Yeah, yeah, no, totally. I highly recommend, if you have Netflix, Hasan Minhaj, he does an episode about affirmative action.
Okay.
And his new show, Patriot Act. And he talks about, so there's these high profile, and like, they're trying to dismantle affirmative action. There's this high profile lawsuit, University of Texas. And there's this guy, I forget his name, who's trying to champion, like, he's really spearheading it. This older white guy. And his case lost in 2016. And apparently, like,
he's back.
The ironic thing is that the student who had alleged that there was injustice, that she didn't get in because she was white, and affirmative action, and that it turns out that her parents had like bribed to get her to get into the school. The
and
case
she
was
still
lost.
Didn't get in?
She still
oh,
get
that's
in.
Why the case was lost.
Yeah, or I think though the court just ruled that it is constitutional for the University of Texas to use race as a factor in its admissions, that it's constitutional for it to happen.
Yeah.
And most recently, there's a lawsuit against Harvard claiming that university discriminates against Asian American applicants. And the same guy is leading that case, because now at least he has like a minority as his face case, as opposed to he had a white girl the last time. And because Harvard has these quotas and Asian Americans are feeling like they're not able to get in because they're filling in these quotas. You're going after the wrong. We're going after the wrong. They're going after the wrong people. Their problems are the legacies.
Yeah. Yeah. And no one's touching that. And they don't care to. So.
Well, we need to, because that's the real issue.
Yes. Oh, and I just thought of something, but I lost it.
Oh.
It was about the affirmative action. Oh, just another issue. You said it was that people think that their spots are getting taken. Their rightful spots are being taken by these affirmative action kids, Cordy Finger. When, again, the seats are saved for you. Yeah. You know, it's like there is always a seat for you.
Yeah.
And that's shown in the 55% or the 33% or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're just checking the box for the affirmative. affirmative action.
Yep. So we still actually need affirmative action for minorities, and we need to stop white affirmative action.
And on a positive note, I do feel that there is a wave of movement. And that's why, I mean, I feel like I just would want to sit in a closet in a dark corner and just be like, the world is going crazy. But I feel like I have to stand up and step up and be in leadership because we are the future policymakers.
It's very true.
And so, you know, I do feel like there is a wave of new policymakers coming through. And so
it is like, you're right. Like, it's this thing too, is that like, we are the adults now. Mm-hmm. It's time for us. Like if you are in like, you know, 20 to 40, like it's our time to like step up. Like we are the, like you said, the policymakers. Right. And I think like we're realizing there's a crisis. Marianne Williamson talks about this. There's a crisis of adulthood and it's time for us to become the adults in the room and make these policies, changing them and having these conversations and changing shit.
Yeah.
Because we can change it and not roll our eyes at it. See where the issues are and change it.
Totally. Totally. So thank you for sharing those facts, especially just that the admissions of POCs is lower. I wouldn't have thought that at all.
They ain't getting better, but we're going to make it better because that's our job.
Yes.
Hello, this is Aneke.
Hello, it is I, Queen Candace of the Great African Tribes. Hello, girl. Oh, how are you?
Is this Candace who works at the Bank of America from around the corner?
Girl, no, this isn't Candace from around the corner. This is Queen Candace. You talked about me on your show as one of the great queens of Africa from Ethiopia. I am Queen Candace.
Oh my God, what an honor. I'm so glad to have you. So why are you calling?
Well, Aneke, I am a huge fan, longtime listener, longtime friend.
Oh, of Minority Corner?
Of Minority Corner, of Maximum Fun. And I know you are doing the Maximum Fun Drive. And girl, I had to call in because I want to get involved.
Oh man, I'm so excited that you want to become a member to the Maximum Fun family, Queen Candace.
I am Queen Candace. You know what I said? I said last year you had Queen Khalifa, and I said if Queen Khalifa is going to give, then so will Queen Candace.
You know what? Having two queens in our back corner is going to help us reach that 25,000 new and upgrading members goals that we have.
I am here to help. It's what queens do. But I'm not sure which level I want to get involved at.
Okay, we have levels for every type of level that you want to be. You can start at $5. You can go all the way up to $200. A level that you feel like?
I might be queen in title, but you know, it's been a long time since I've been queen of Ethiopia.
It's totally fine.
I'm on a fixed budget, okay? If I can be honest, just between us two queens.
This is a safe space, Queen Candace.
I hope you're not recording, but even if you are, let them hear it. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm
on a good, fixed
income.
I record all my phone calls. So,
you be Linda tripping me?
You know, when else am I going to get a queen on my phone? So
that's true. Call it up.
Queen Candace,
I'm thinking
what are you looking at?
$5 level would be in my monthly, my queendom budget.
I feel like that's
for queens.
Yes, it is. It's the queen monthly membership. I'm titling it right now the $35 monthly membership. Queen Candace, let me tell you what you're going to get.
What am
I going to get? You're going to get a glass coffee mug engraved with that MaxFun Rocket logo. I know you like it.
I'll be drinking champagne out of it, but I love a coffee mug.
I love a champagne coffee mug. On top of that, you got to stimulate your brain. So you're going to get a 18x24, 550-piece Maximum Fun puzzle.
You're speaking about... You know I am also queen of puzzles.
Ooh, and it's designed by your favorite artist, Jeffrey Tice.
I love him. I will make him my husband.
Oh, okay. You know what? Goals. So on top of that, when you are carrying your scepter and your crown, I know your cape needs a little adornment. You're going to get a Minority Corner pin.
Ooh, I've already got the other two, and I can't wait to get the third one. Deck the halls with pins of holly.
Yes, and it's designed by the same fabulous artist, Megan Lincott, so they will match.
I saw her as well.
And then you know what, Queen Candace? You are going to get some monthly. You're going to get a bonus content.
What? What?
Over 100 hours of bonus content that is going to be available only to you, a monthly member.
Because I'm a queen, and it's what queens get.
It's true. You deserve it. Only queens deserve this.
Ooh, and you guys have a bonus episode. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, just hold on to your butts because we got some good content coming to you.
But how? I'm ready. Well, do you accept credit card? How do I do this?
Okay, so what you got to do is you got to go to the internet and type in MaximumFun.org/donate. And I know that you can do that.
One of my subjects do this, but yes.
Okay, yeah. Well, at that point, you might want to just, for privacy, because I want to protect you, since you are on a fixed budget, you're going to provide your credit card.
Okay, I will do this.
Okay, and then you are going to, right before that, you are also going to select the membership level, the Queen $35 level that you wanted to do.
That's the one.
Add in your credit card number, some basic information, and then the shows that you listen to, hint, hint,
obviously
Minority Corner.
Click, click, click. Y'all give
and then
the
you're
shout
a member,
out.
And it's just that easy.
Well, every month, do I need to go back on and redo this whole thing over again?
No, you do not. Every month, it processes automatically, and the only time that you have to dip in there is if your card expires or you decide to cancel.
Which I will never do because I'm a huge fan.
I feel so blessed right now. Thank you so much, Queen Candace. You know what? You are now a part of the 25,000 new and upgrading members to join the Maximum Fun family.
Yes,
you are helping us. We love you. You're upgrading us by upgrading yourself.
Yes. Yes, take that, Beyonce. Take that, Khalifa. I too am a queen as part of the Maximum Fun Network.
Woof! What an episode! It's kicking off the Maximum Fun Drive.
Yay.
It's been so great to couldn't ask for a better co-host to be here at the Maximum Fun Drive.
Thank you.
And the listeners got a little taste of Aneke being back here as well. And I do want to leave with this last bit.
Okay.
So Leo Varadkar and his prime minister, I'm going to backtrack. Would he cut that part? So Leo Varadkar and his partner, Matt Barrett, so he's the prime minister of Ireland. And he met with Mike Pence at Mike Pence's home. And, Pence, super,
not personally, but I'm very familiar.
He's home.
And I want to know all about this visit.
He's very, homophobic. He's, fan of conversion therapy and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, big props to, that Ireland's got an out prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. You know, we do have... Pete Buttigieg, I think is his name. He's the gay mayor from Indiana.
Okay, yeah.
Who's running for president. He's one of the
many Democrats.
But I think it's just so dope that he's out and he's running and he's a contender.
On the late night shows when
they make jokes about there's so many people running, and but you didn't notice that one of those was the genie from Aladdin. But Pete Buttigieg's picture's up there, so people are
taking notes.
Even Marianne Williamson, her photo's up there too.
Yeah.
So he went to visit Pence and he thanked him for the warm welcome. And he also said, "I stand here as a leader for my country, flawed and human, but judged by my political actions, not by my sexual orientation, my skin tone, gender, or religious beliefs. And I don't believe my country is the only country where this is possible. We are all, after all God's children. And that's as true of the U.S. as well. Land of the home and the brave and the free, where the promise of America inspires boys and girls all over the world to dream big dreams." So then right to the press in front of Mike Pence.
Wow. And then what happened?
I don't know.
Okay.
Mike Pence just smiled awkwardly. And yeah, so.
Cool. He dropped the mic. That's what happened.
That's what that was. So wanted to leave with a little bit of that. That's what's, some positive things that are happening in the world. And just a thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Where can they keep track of all the amazing things that you're doing?
Well, my home base on the web is at jennifercovington.com.
Yeah.
You can just go there and see all the things. And yes, I also do have a podcast, Shine On, Sista.
Yeah.
For anyone who wants to shine their light brightly in the world, which we see from this episode, we're all being called to do.
Yeah.
My podcast is even a result of that. James encouraged me and coached me through even launching a podcast. So it's just an example of you do have a voice, what you think and your history, what you bring to the table matters. And so if we all take one step forward, we'll be creating a really massive movement. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, it's been so great to have you here. I want to thank Woody, our editor. I want to thank Brownout supplying the music. And also huge thanks to all of you who have already, during this episode, even before this episode, have already participated in the Maximum Fun Drive.
Yes.
There's levels for everybody. We cannot do this show without you. We got new equipment because of all you. Jen sees this equipment.
Yeah,
we got
pretty dope.
All kinds of equipment here. We do it for you, by you. It's almost like FUBU, but not. It'd be FUBU.
Because?
For you, by you. Because FUBU is like for us, by us.
Yeah, yeah.
It'd be for like
you,
for
by you,
by you. For you.
It's like Fi-bye,
y'all.
Bye.
Well, thank you all for listening to Minority Corner, because together,
we're the majority.
Nailed it.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.